trying to essentially create a genocide in Palestine, kill and expel all of the Palestinians. And the problem with that is that they're not succeeding in breaking the Palestinian will to resist. The Palestinians look back at 1948 and they see that it was a terrible mistake that was made, as the Zionists were massacring whole villages full of men, women, and children, and then driving around with their bullhorns telling everyone else to flee or the same thing would happen to them. The Palestinians left, keeping the keys to their houses, planning on returning very soon. The Israelis then put up their barbed wire borders with machine guns and have barred the Palestinians from returning to their homes. Now the Palestinians know that if they leave, they may not be allowed back, and they're not leaving. The Palestinians are here to stay, and they can endure a lot more suffering than the Israelis can. When there was just a little bit of violence that was hitting some of the Israelis maybe 15 years ago, they fled. You know, the Israeli population drops precipitously every time there's any serious action coming at them, and whereas the Palestinians know they're going to be there for the long haul. And that's why it's so important that the Palestinians continue to resist. They're not going to stop firing their rockets, which are largely harmless, but the symbolic gesture is enormous. They can keep firing these rockets no matter what Israel does, no matter how much Israel punishes the civilian population for resisting and for not giving up its birthright to Palestine. And so the Palestinians have really won a victory here just by enduring, as Hezbollah won its victory in 2006 by enduring. And the Zionists are running out of options. They can't kill everybody in Palestine. The world would not accept that. But that's really their only solution to get what they want.
Okay.
At some point, they're going to just have to surrender. So in the long run, the advantage is with the Palestinians.
What about that?
Okay,
stay with me, please, Mr. Baird. What about that, Mr. Showman? In the long run, the advantage is with the Palestinians and that the Israelis cannot kill all the Palestinians. Your take, sir.
Just make this particular comment. The Zionists have represented that Arab armies told the population to leave until the Arab armies invaded and to remove the Zionists. That is largely a fiction. The truth of the matter is that killer squads were unleashed across Palestine from Al-Khalil to Jalil, and the Palestinian population was massacred and driven out by systematic terror. Populations were massacred, their survivors were driven out, and their cities and towns were reduced to rubble, and the land confiscated. That's the reality of the Nakba and the ethnic cleansing of Palestine, which has been a continuous process. As to the question of the Palestinian people and their will to live, the Palestinian population is unrelenting in their determination to reclaim their land and to survive on it. And the issue of Zionist determination to subjugate the population and to drive them out is part of the imperial design for the entire region. The subjugation of the Palestinian people would not be possible without the collusion of the country-selling regimes of the Arab East. All of these regimes are part of the imperial imposition upon the region to seize resources, to destroy sovereignty, to roll back the anti-colonial revolution. And the crisis of the Zionist system is the crisis of imperialism itself. It's the Egyptian revolution, it's the Jordanian revolution, it's the Saudi revolution, it's the overthrow of all of these miserable country-selling regimes that is part and parcel of the struggle for the liberation of Palestine. It is very clear that the blockade that is imposed upon the population of Gaza is instrumentally imposed by the regime in Egypt, which is in collusion with the Israelis and with the government of the United States. Al-Sisi is an intelligence operative of Mubarak, who was responsible for colluding with the Israelis for the past 30 and 40 years. Those are the real dynamics of the isolation of the population of Gaza, but they are not isolated from the will to survive and resist. And as your correspondent has just mentioned, that is unrelinquishable by the population and will be sustained. The question is that these regimes have to go, the peoples of the region have to rise up. It's a struggle that is unconfined to boundaries but must sweep the region at large.
Well, let's look at that, Mr. Baird, what Mr. Showman said. Basically, the regimes of the area have to go and the people have to rise up. If we look at the countries or organizations that have been the biggest supporters of the resistance in not only of course, in Palestine, but elsewhere in the world. We see that so-called international community has tried their best to punish them, and whether we're talking about Syria with a now three-year war where over 100,000 civilians have been killed there, or we're talking about Hezbollah that is labeled as a terrorist organization in many of these Western countries, or we're talking about the Islamic Republic of Iran that has seen years and years of sanctions and so many other, if you want to call it, punishments because of their perspective on resistance. So then the question is the price that has to be paid for those standing for resistance. And do we think that the time has come that other countries are willing to stand up for the resistance?
Well, the time has long passed that other Middle Eastern countries and Islamic countries around the world need to have been standing up for Palestine. And I think that we need to get some historical perspective here. The September 11th events were essentially a Zionist coup d'etat by way of a false flag attack here in the USA. The hardcore neoconservative extremists like Kutnik Zionists seized power, and they set up a plan to take out seven countries in 5 years, as General Clark told us. These countries were the countries that were not falling into line with Israel. They were the countries that were willing to support Palestinian resistance to some extent or another. And the one at the end of the list was Iran, the biggest problem for the Zionists. And they were saving Iran to the end because it was the hardest one, you know, the hardest nut to crack, as it were. So they invaded Iraq and destroyed Iraq. They broke up Sudan into two pieces. They overthrew Gaddafi in Libya. They threw Syria out of Lebanon and have been going after Syria. But they've stalled. They haven't been able to do it in 5 years. And it's time for the other countries in the region to realize that they're on the hit list, too, that it's time for people to work together to solve this problem. And all the people in the Middle East are really unanimously of one position, which is that the Zionist entity is not a legitimate state. And their leaders, unfortunately, for the most part, have found it easier to sell out and sort of use doublespeak, say one thing to the people, but play a different game behind closed doors and essentially kowtow to the Zionists. And the people of the Middle East are not going to put up with this forever. The Arab Spring should have been about the people seizing the power and forcing their countries to form a united front against Zionism. But it got derailed by all kinds of fourth-generation warfare propaganda techniques, false flag terrorism, synthetic extremist terror groups, and so on. And people are slowly waking up to this. So, yeah, the people need to force their governments to do the right thing on this question. In particular, the Saudis and the Egyptians have a lot to answer for. The Saudis have the oil card. Anytime the Saudis choose to, they can help create another OPEC oil boycott against countries supporting Israel. That could force the Israelis to make peace on terms that would be at least somewhere within hailing distance of minimal justice. Likewise, the Egyptians have the border of Gaza sealed up right now. This is obscene. This Zionist stooge who seized power in Egypt, al-Sisi, has shut down the borders and essentially the participant in the genocide of Gaza. So these two regimes in Saudi Arabia and Egypt are the ones that have the most to answer for. But the people of the Middle East need to recognize the risks that countries like Iran and to a lesser extent Syria and Hezbollah in Lebanon have taken standing up for the people of Palestine. This has been a heroic action, not only by the Palestinians, but by the people supporting the Palestinians in these other countries, led by Iran and Hezbollah, and with the participation of the government in Syria.
All right, stay with me. Stay with me, Kevin Barrett. Sorry. I just want to get Mr. Ralph Schuman back in on this. Sir, now, what is the key right now? We see so-called efforts to actually bring about a ceasefire now taking place in Egypt with the U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, with U.N. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon in Cairo trying to get this ceasefire implemented. What is next? Do the resistance, should they continue? What is the key?
Well, the ceasefire that was initially proposed by the Egyptians, along with Netanyahu, was a set-up job that the U.S. had sponsored, and it was essentially designed to starve out and confine the population of Gaza. There are no access to the tunnels through which they are able to get the materials, some small fraction of the materials that are blockaded. So it was not a ceasefire, it was a form of surrender that was being requested, and it would be very short-lived for that. The surrender would be quickly matched by an assault, you can be sure of that. So we have to be clear about what the imperial intent is. The imperial intent is to break the will of the Palestinian people. The imperial intent is to destroy its leadership and to destroy its organization. That's the permanent design. Unfortunately, I think it's essential to point out that the Palestinian formal organizations, such as the Palestinian Authority, and to some extent Hamas itself, are on the payroll of the Zionists. I mean, it is in fact the Israeli state that finances the Palestinian representative regime in the West Bank.
So what's the key, sir? Only 30 seconds. So what's the key? If their leadership is compromised, then what's the key for the Palestinians themselves to achieve victory?
It is expressed every day by Palestinians from every walk of life. They are fed up with a leadership that colludes with their occupation enemies, and they want a resistance leadership that can sustain a continued struggle, a new intifada, and that spirit embraces the Palestinian people at large and will find organized expression before very long, I am
All
sure.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much, sir. We are out of time. I appreciate our guest being with us, political commentator, Mr. Kevin Barrett out of Madison, Wisconsin. Also, Mr. Ralph Showman out of Berkeley, California, the author of The Hidden History of Zionism.